God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. Who am I that you are mindful of me? That you hear me when I call. Oh, and is it true that you are thinking of me? That you love me, oh, it's amazing. Oh, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I am a friend of God. Calls me friend. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
God, we worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy, God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. All right, we're going to turn in, if you would turn with me in your Bibles, amen, to Hosea chapter 10. Amen. Hosea, it's easy to miss that one. Hosea 10 and 12. Man, this should be a pretty relaxed teaching, Bible study. Hosea 10:12, it says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, have your way, Lord. Move in this place, God. Lord Jesus, we love you. Ask you, Lord God, that you'd restore us unto righteousness, God. Restore us unto true righteousness, Lord Jesus. Ask you, God, that you'd bless us, Lord God, with your word. Open up our understanding, Lord Jesus. Ask you, Lord, to dig up, Lord, the fallow ground, God. Break it up, Lord Jesus, Lord, so that we can be ready for a harvest, so that we can be ready to bear fruit, Lord Jesus. Fruit of righteousness, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I was going to read that scripture that says, "Lord, if you should mark iniquities, who shall stand?" And then I was going to say, "You may be seated," but then I'd have to keep standing. Amen. But, you know, lately, as I've been thinking about the communion service that is coming up and what we're about to do and what we're about to be able to partake in. Amen. There's always that question of self-examination. And there's always that question of, you know, am I really doing right? Am I really living for God the way I ought to? Am I being unrighteous? Am I being self-righteous? Am I really truly counting on God fully for his righteousness and that not of myself? Amen. But am I really, truly looking at the righteousness of God rather than my own? And so this thought came to me, and I wanted to look at, well, what's true righteousness? What is the true righteousness that we need to have in order to make it to heaven? Jesus said that unless our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, we shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So righteousness is key, and it's very important. And it's very important that we know what true righteousness is and that we don't fall into the trap of self-righteousness and self-righteous thinking. And so I'm going to try to not look around tonight because I know that when I was studying this, God really dealt with my heart. God really began to work on me. And this verse I read about break up your fallow ground, it's talking about a farm or a field. And it's talking about sowing. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. That fallow ground is typically in farming. They will leave a field for a few seasons so that it can recoup the nourishment for the soil and let it, they just let it sit. It's part of crop rotation and it starts to harden and it starts to get a bit, you know, it's unused, it's unfruitful. Nothing is growing there. And so you have to break it up. You have to stir up that dust, that dirt, and you've got to start to work on it. You've got to start to prepare it for the seed to be sown into it. And without breaking up that fallow ground, the seeds will not penetrate the soil. They will stay there at the surface and not grow. And so we want true righteousness, and we want true righteousness to reign upon us. And I wanted to see if, you know, one of the things that I've always had a hard time with, struggle with, is I want to recapture that innocence of my youth where I had pure intentions and I was totally naive. Jesus said that unless you come to me like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so that true righteousness where you believe what the Word of God says and you have pure heart and pure intentions like a brand new convert and you're hungry, you really want to grow and you really are tired and sick of the way that you've lived in your past. And so you need the true righteousness of God and you cannot have righteousness of your own and you recognize that nothing that you have done up to that point has worked for you, only to complicate things more and lead your life down a path of unrighteousness. Amen. But we want the true righteousness of God. But there's a problem. In Romans 3:10, and well, I guess I could give you the title of my lesson. It says, it's 10 signs of true righteousness and compared to self-righteousness. So Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So that's a problem because that means me, that means you, none of us are righteous. We need righteousness. We have to have, our righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees or we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But then it says, no, there's no righteous, no, not one. Verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That word fallow also means unfruitful, unprofitable. We've got to let the Lord break up that unprofitable, unfruitful ground. Amen. It's that way because of our own righteousness. It's that way because of our unrighteousness. And we've got to let the righteousness of God, true righteousness, can come from God alone. Amen. In fact, it's one of the names of God, Jehovah Tzedek is the Lord our righteousness. And we know that God manifest himself in flesh. Amen. Became a son so that he could show true righteousness to us, so that he could exemplify what real righteousness looks like. Amen. So there's 10 things I want to look at, 10 signs of true righteousness. And every single one of them, Jesus lived that life of perfect true righteousness. And so with his Spirit and with his Spirit alone within our lives, we can also exemplify true righteousness. It's not of ourselves. Amen. It's not of anyone else, but it is of him. Amen. So the first sign of true righteousness will draw people closer to you. True righteousness will draw people closer to you. Self-righteous people repel others. You ever been around somebody that had a holier-than-thou attitude and it made you feel uncomfortable? Why is that? Well, it's because the self-righteous person is comparing their righteous acts to yours and to that of others as if you are spiritually inferior to them, as if others are spiritually inferior to them. And they might not even be doing this intentionally to put you down. But in the end, people don't enjoy being around a self-righteous person because they always feel like that person's making them feel as if they're inferior, amen, and that person is better. Self-righteousness is antithetical to unity. It breaks apart. It pushes away. But genuine righteousness draws people closer to you, no matter who they are. Jesus was the perfect and holy righteous God manifest in the flesh. And he still made people feel wanted. He still, even though they were sinners, he still welcomed them into his circle, if you will. Luke 7:34 says, and this was Jesus talking about, well, you said John the Baptist was strict and stringent and that he was untouchable and holier than thou, but Luke 7:34, he says, the Son of Man is coming, eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus made the ones that didn't feel right about their own life feel welcome. Amen. True righteousness draws people toward you instead of pushing people away. Hallelujah. And I want that kind of righteousness that only Jesus can give. Amen. That righteousness that helps people connect, helps people feel like they're drawn closer to you. Amen. Embrace them. Hallelujah. True righteousness, this is the second sign of true righteousness. True righteousness is humble. It's humble. As opposed to self-righteous people that parade their good works and have to show off every time they're giving or every time they're doing something good. Amen. True righteousness is humble. Look no further than the scribes and the Pharisees. They always emphasize the outward manifestation of righteousness rather than the inward conversion of the heart. And this passage of scripture in Mark chapter 23, that there was seven times that Jesus said, woe unto you, woe unto you. And he said it to the scribes and the Pharisees because of their self-righteousness. We're talking about this because communion's coming up. Amen. And if you trust in your own self for your own righteousness, you'll be doing it wrong. But if you trust in Jesus for his righteousness, his blood, if you have faith in him, amen, you can partake in true remembrance of him. Praise the Lord. Matthew 23:23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Man, this stuff is hard to hear. If I start looking at myself and trying to show off everything that I've done and all the accomplishments that God has allowed me to have, I start falling into that trap of self-righteousness. Jesus had to reprimand the scribes and the Pharisees because they were missing the whole point of righteousness. Notice that Jesus did not excuse outward unrighteousness. He didn't tell them, you can live however you want to on the outside as long as the inside is okay. He didn't excuse unrighteousness. He never did that. But he placed the emphasis on true righteousness being inside and out. It's important that we realize that. You can dress up, you can look fancy, you can look the part, but on the inside, if you're a hypocrite and you're self-righteous on the inside, your righteousness is as filthy rags. Praise the Lord. When the Pharisees fasted, they would disfigure their faces. When they prayed, they would use high and lofty oratory. Amen. Whenever they would give, they would sound a trumpet before them. They loved attention from the public display of righteousness. But when they repented, listen, it was empty and never showed fruit meet for repentance. It's so important that we do not become self-righteous. But true righteousness is humble. It's humble. And the Father that sees in secret will reward it openly. Because he will reward all of those that dispense with the self-righteousness and trust him alone. He will reward those that trust in him alone. Amen. Number three, true righteousness is compassionate. Self-righteous people are not compassionate. Being self-righteous makes you a person without compassion because you see everyone else's sins and everyone else's faults, and you just can't understand why people are like that. In the meantime, when you look in the mirror, you see nothing wrong. And you fail to realize that you have just as many or even more faults, unrepented sins, and unchecked problems. Self-righteousness it's dirty. It's a dirty trick of the enemy. While you're concerned with what everyone else is doing, you yourself are lost. Luke 18 and 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give of all that I possess. As if God doesn't know all of that. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I was talking to Brother Joel yesterday, and talking about justification. Justification, one definition for justification is reset. It's a reset. It's a redirection. If you're off course and you justify yourself back on course, you're truly justified. So the Pharisee prayed all of that and left unjustified, while the publican, which asked and appealed for God's mercy, he left on the right track. Amen? So instead of compassion, the Pharisee was first critical of everyone else's sins and the publican's sins, but when he looked at himself, the only thing he saw was his own righteous acts and therefore saw no need to repent. True righteousness causes deep introspect and self-reflection and realizes the need for the mercy of God. For how else shall we please him than for him to see his own righteousness in us? Amen. If I don't have his righteousness, if I'm not clothed with the righteousness of God, if I don't have his spirit within me, amen, nothing that I do will be fruitful. Everything that I do will remain fallow, will remain unfruitful. Man, I don't want to live like that. I want God to use every part of me, every part of my life. I've got to trust in his righteousness and that in his alone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we pray that right now? God, I need your righteousness, Lord. God, I repent, Lord Jesus, of my own self-righteousness, of any times that I've ever thought of myself more than I am. Oh, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, wretched and undone, Lord. I need your righteousness, oh God. I need true righteousness, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. I need your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. It's not by my own might. It's not by my own power, God, but it's by your spirit, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Number four, true righteousness loves sinners and hates sin. Yes. A sign of true righteousness is that you love sinners and that you despise sin. Self-righteous people hate and condemn sinners. If you ever find yourself looking on at sinners and you find yourself detesting people because you know that they're sinners, even by their own actions, you can look and see that they're sinners. You can look and see the way that they act on TV and out on the street. And you look at them and you know by the word of God that they're sinners. That's just good judgment. But if you ever find yourself detesting them, not wanting to reach them, not wanting to talk to them, not wanting to give them some hope, then you are caught in that trap of self-righteousness. Self-righteous people hate sinners instead of merely hating their sins. Why is this dangerous? Well, it's dangerous because in the mind of the self-righteous, they sit as gods, condemning people and passing permanent judgment. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, self-righteous man. But God can save that sinner. He saved me. He can save someone else. He saved you. He can save that sinner. Amen. Don't you dare pass judgment on them. Don't you dare try to turn up your nose at them. Don't you dare try to condemn them. Amen. God loves that sinner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. Jesus loves sinners. Just look at the type of people that God chose to spend time with. He chose to spend time with those that were known sinners, those that were known adulterers, those that had demons before. Amen. Those that had problems in their life. He could have marched in and spent time with the governor if he wanted to. He could have marched in and spent more time with Pontius Pilate or King Herod or one of the others. But what did he do? He spent all his time reaching the lost. He spent all time loving sinners. Amen. Like me and like you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loved the lost. He loved the lost. Yet he never excused sin. You'll never find in the Word of God a time where Jesus excused the sin in someone's life. He never excused it. But he was always commanding them, go and sin no more. He gave them hope that they didn't have to live in sin anymore. Amen. He gave them a promise that they could have eternal life. Amen. Go and sin no more. He started his ministry by telling people to repent. Amen. And so he didn't excuse sin. He hated sin. He detested sin. He knew the damage that sin did. But he loved the sinners. Amen. Viciously. True righteousness loves the lost and wants to give them hope. And it also despises the sin that is destroying sinners and wants nothing more than to lead them to repentance. Amen. If you're self-righteous, you'll just pass them by. But if you're godly righteous, if you have true righteousness, you'll reach out a hand. Amen. You'll ask them to come to the church. You'll ask them if you can pray for them. You'll ask them if they need anything. What can I do to help you live for God? Hallelujah. Number five, true righteousness seeks to please God. True righteousness seeks to please God. Self-righteous people love the approval and the praises of men. One of the main motivators of the self-righteous is the absolute need for affirmation and approval of others. This attention seeking causes them to only perform righteous things in the presence of others. So if the crowd is not big enough, or those whom they seek approval from are not present, amen, the only way that they will act is unrighteous or self-righteous. Amen. So not only will they not act righteous, but the true sinful nature will begin to show. Back to Matthew 23, verse 5, a little bit earlier on. It says, but all their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. True righteousness seeks to please God rather than men. T.F. Tenney, I think it was T.F. Tenney, is either T.F. Tenney or Jack Cunningham. You'll have to go look it up on the internet. But I think it was T.F. Tenney said, if it displeases God, it don't matter who it pleases. And if it pleases God, it don't matter who it displeases. Amen. So we should be humble, knowing the fact that we work not by any holiness or righteousness of our own, but it's only by His righteousness that anything that I do can be considered good. That way it doesn't matter who sees it, because God sees it. While self-righteousness has its reward, true righteousness receives a far greater reward that only God can give. Amen? When we do something good, we don't do it to show how righteous we are. Instead, we do it to show how awesome the living God is. Amen? Because God is awesome, I want to do right. Amen? Because God is good, I want to do right. Because God is holy and loving, I want to do right. Amen? Hallelujah. We do all things for the praise of His glory, because it's His righteousness, not our own. Amen? We're about halfway there, guys. Number 6, a sign of true righteousness. True righteousness does not keep an account of good works. All right, self-righteous people, they keep a list of their good works. And I know it's hard for us to forget the good things that we've done for people. It's almost like we keep a little notepad in our brains, and every time we do something good for someone, every time we do a work of righteousness, we jot it down on that little notepad and we keep it in our brain. And all of us do this. And we've got to get to the point where we stop doing this. We've got to get to the point where we don't care how many good things we've done for somebody. But those that are self-righteous will use this list to manipulate and have the advantage over others. It's one of the most despicable forms of influence, is to do favors for other people and then hold off on cashing out on those favors. And then when it really comes time, you know, that you need something done, to go and demand the favors from other people. You know who does that? The mafia. Yeah. I grew up in Las Vegas. You know, we had the Rat Pack and all that stuff. This is going out on the internet, so I'm going to be careful, but maybe not. But my dad always taught me, Darren, don't let people do you favors, because one day they'll come back and they'll expect a favor in return. Anybody else learn that as a kid? Yeah. Maybe it was just me. No. But you got to watch out, because there are people out there that will try to use and manipulate those, they call it Machiavellian manipulators. They'll try to use those good deeds that they have done for you as leverage against you. You got to be careful. Amen. Don't refuse a blessing. Don't refuse a blessing, but take it freely without leverage, or without them saying, oh, you're going to pay this back later, or something like that. And if you do good things for people, never expect something in return. Amen. That's including letting them borrow gas money. I didn't get a single amen. All right. Maybe I should cover the financial policy. Don't lend people money. Don't lend people money. You're just going to cause problems. And don't ask for money. Don't ask for money from people in the church. And don't, you know, you people that are being asked for money, don't lend them money. Amen? You're just going to cause division. Don't do it. Praise the Lord. That's the official policy of Apostolic Lighthouse. I promise. Ask Pastor. Amen. So as soon as the person that the self-righteous man has done a favor to does something that they don't like, they'll start to list all the things that they did for that person. Amen. When we pile up all the good deeds that we may try to convince ourselves that we're so good and that we're so righteous and that the church or even God really needs us so badly, actually, the reverse is true. We desperately need God. I desperately need Jesus. I can't live without Jesus. I mean, what was I thinking? I can't live without him. Praise the Lord. Romans 4:2 says, "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory. But not before God. But not before God. You do something good, sure, you can glory in that. Sure, go ahead. Glory in it. But not before God. You can't. What have you done to deserve salvation? What have you done to deserve God's mercy? What have you done to deserve God's love? Nothing. Nothing. It's not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 4:3 continues, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." He just simply believing God is enough for it to be counted for him for righteousness. Not something he did. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. If you're getting righteousness by any other thing, then faith in the blood of Jesus and his righteousness, amen. If you're getting it anywhere else, it's not true righteousness. Amen. It's either unrighteous or it's self-righteous. True righteousness. Listen, it draws from the unlimited source, the unlimited resource of God's goodness, so that there's no need to keep track. Amen. You just keep going back to the well of righteousness. You just keep going back and filling up the bucket every single time. You just keep going back. Amen. Every time you need God's goodness, every time you need God's mercy, you can go back to the unlimited source. Amen. The blood never loses power. Amen. His love never runs out. It's not contingent. Amen. It's pure. Amen. It's without reservation. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the true righteousness of God. Amen. I just want to capture that back in my life. Amen. And dispel self-righteousness completely. Hallelujah. Number 7. True righteousness loves correction. That's a hard one. True righteousness loves correction. Well, what do self-righteous people do? They reject correction. The longer we trust in our own righteousness, the more callous we will get. If we're trusting in our own selves, we just build up those layers of callous. And this hardness leads to pride. It leads to arrogance. And eventually, when we need to be corrected, we will become unteachable. Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish." The English Standard Version says, "is stupid." It's in the Bible, the English Standard Version Bible. If you hate correction, that's brutish. That's dumb. Love correction. Love reproof. Part of the reason that pride leads to the hardened heart is that it puffs us up and causes us to believe that we know everything. But there's so much that we don't know. We know so little, so little. And God, when He wants to come try to teach us something, and He wants to come and try to open up our understanding, if you have that callous and that hardness and that puffing up of your pride, you will miss the opportunity to learn. And if we miss the opportunity to learn, we won't grow. And if we don't grow, we end up dying. You've heard all the scriptures before, you might say. I've heard that message preached before, and it was preached better. And any new ideas that are presented to you, they just don't impress you anymore. You become an expert Christian and won't let anyone lead you, teach you, and especially not tell you what to do. Oh man, self-righteous person, you tell them what to do. And oh, they'll just lose it. Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. See, the wise man recognizes when God is instructing him, and he becomes wiser. But it says, teach a just or righteous man, and he will increase in learning. If you're righteous, if you have true righteousness, you're going to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. Truly righteous people, they possess a childlike wonder at the things of God. And they want to sit and learn at Jesus' feet. True righteousness leads to an insatiable desire to grow in the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of God. And it's all right if you learned that before or you heard that before. When that new convert comes up to you and say, guess what I read in the Bible? You get just as excited that they learned something new as you did when you even more excited. Amen. Yeah, isn't that awesome, brother? Isn't that great? Isn't God good? Isn't that powerful? Amen. And you just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow because you're rejoicing in His righteousness and not in your own righteousness. Hallelujah. Number 8, true righteousness is obedient to God's voice. What do self-righteous people do? They talk back to God. In order for God to deliver the self-righteous, they need to be humbled first. Sometimes when God speaks to us, we may start out pointing about how good we are. You ever ask somebody, how you doing, and they say, good? Sometimes God asks you how you're doing, and you say good, as if. You're not good. If God's asking you how you're doing, there's something wrong with you. Just like when He asked Adam, where art thou? Right? There's something wrong. If God's nudging you and trying to speak to you, amen, we need to listen up. God's about to ask us to do something that will help us to be righteous in His sight and not in our own. So sometimes God tries to speak to us and we might point out how good we are and how much we do and how we would be better off not listening to His instruction. In reality, when we talk back to God, we are guilty of exactly what the Laodicean church was. Revelation 3:17 says, because thou sayest, I am rich. That's them talking back to God, by the way. I am rich. I am increased with goods. I have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. If God's trying to speak to you, it's for a reason. Listen up. Obey His voice. Amen. True righteousness waits with bated breath for the voice of the Lord, and obeys without question. Isaiah 50 verse 5 says, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned back away. When God begins to speak to you, listen up, obey His voice. Amen. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they will not hear the voice of another. Amen. They will come. They will be with me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. True righteousness, number 9. And I've got 5 minutes. True righteousness gives all the glory to God. True righteousness gives all the glory to God. Well, self-righteous people think that they are the ones that are important. Yeah. They're the VIP. The pastor better come shake my hand. All right. I know we don't have that problem around here. We really don't. God is so good to us. Hallelujah. Sometimes in our passion to do God's work, we fall into this trap of thinking that it's all about us. And we conclude that somehow we're responsible for the results of what God has done, when in reality, there's no good thing in ourselves. Look at how many people I brought to church. Look how inspired people are with my singing and my testimony and my preaching. And look at all the money that I gave, right? It's me, 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 I. Notice there's nothing in there about God. Amen. This type of thinking is focused on the self. But if we are only right in our own sight and not right in God's sight, we are not truly righteous. Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Amen. True righteousness is not self-right, it is Christ-right. I'm going to say that again. True righteousness is not self-right, it is Christ-right. It is right in His sight, not right in our own sight. Righteous people concentrate only on the things that God graciously gave to them, including any and all opportunities to serve Him, and they give Him all the glory. Hallelujah. They give Him all the praise. Amen. When God graciously allows you to partake in ministry or in some good thing that you do, give God all the credit. Don't try to take any credit for yourself. Don't try to say, "Look at me." Amen. You know, you start saying, "Look at me," too long, and people will look at you and they'll find out that you're not righteous. I know that this is hard, but it's good. True righteousness is content. This is the last one, number 10. Sign of true righteousness is that you're content. You don't think you have need of anything, because you know God supplies all your needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, self-righteous people are not content, and anything and everything that comes up, they wallow in self-pity. Never have the right attitude towards what's happening in their life. Always look at the negative. Always look at the things that are bad about a situation and don't have hope of the good. Every time a self-righteous person is chastened by God, they get angry and sulk and remain unrepented. Jude chapter 1, verse 12. Jude is a great book, but there's some harsh things in the book of Jude. But here it says, Jude 1:12, "There are spots," these are spots in your feast of charity, "when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds are they without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea," look at this, "foaming out their own shame." Why would you try to foam out shame? Why would you wallow in self-pity? Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Self-righteous people are in a dangerous position because they're just wallowing in the muck and the mire of their own self-righteousness when they could be free from that and trust in God. When God challenges a self-righteous person to displace them from their own self-righteousness, they get a woe is me attitude instead of developing hope and enthusiasm to fight their way out of that conflict. Amen. We're supposed to rejoice in diverse temptations. We're supposed to count it all joy. James 1 verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Yeah, you're going through a trial. Yeah, you're going through a situation, but you're going to get something good out of it. Yeah, you're going through problems. Everybody has problems in their life. But you're going to get some joy out of it. You're going to get some good things out of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. True righteousness sees trials and challenges in life as an opportunity to develop godly righteousness. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. True righteousness, amen, is content with what they have. We got to see correction as a way to bring us back to our loving and merciful Savior. Amen. When God allows us to go through trials, it's not because He wants us to fail. Anybody in here think God lets you go through trials because He wants you to fail? He doesn't. If you think He wants you to fail, you probably are self-righteous because you think, woe is me, I can't get out of this, I can never catch a break. Amen. But God wants to help us develop true righteousness that allows us to be part of His family. When our own self-righteousness restricts our spiritual growth, we're offered a course correction away from the chains of arrogance. And we must have a positive attitude, learn the lesson, and overcome the trial. Amen? Why don't we stand to our feet tonight? And I'll read that scripture that we opened with, Hosea 10:12. Now you know. Now you know what true righteousness is. And I hope that we can get outside of ourselves, that we can trust in God. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Amen. We don't have any righteousness of our own. Amen. Hosea 10:12 says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. God, rain down your righteousness on me, God. Rain down your righteousness on me, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we just lift up our hands? Oh, God, help me to break up the fallow ground of my heart, God. Help me to break up, Lord Jesus, the things, God, that would hold me back from your plan, your purpose, oh, God. Lord Jesus, I want to be available, be ready to be used of you, God. Lord, break up self-righteousness in us, God. Break up unrighteousness in us, Lord Jesus. God, help us to be righteous through your Spirit, Lord. Help us to be righteous, oh God, only because you are righteous, Lord Jesus. Amen. Rain down your righteousness upon me, God. Rain down your righteousness upon me, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I just want to think about that all week. Amen. Let's think about that all the way. Amen. Till we get to heaven. God, rain down your righteousness upon me. Lord, let it refresh me. Let it break up the fallow ground. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, this is the last thing I'm going to say before I dismiss you. You know, when they're farming, when they go into that field, they start to use those machines to break up that fallow ground. And because the ground has not been tilled or watered in a while, it starts to kick up a bunch of dust. You know, when we see ourselves as self-righteous, and when we realize and recognize how God feels about self-righteousness, it starts to kick up a bunch of dust. Well, if you kick up too much dust, you might get a fine, because the town will come out and say, hey, we're putting dust all over our town. So what do the farmers do? Anybody know? Yeah, they start putting water on it. Amen. When that ugly self-righteousness starts disturbing your life, amen, you got to let the water of the Holy Ghost rain down upon you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming. We will see you Sunday, if not before that. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.